listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. 3 hours away from tip-off. Game 5 tonight down at Scotiabank. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game at 7 p.m. Going to be an awesome vibe tonight. No anthem singer for the Canadian anthem tonight. They're just going to allow the crowd to bring it home. Which I like.
Who's going to start it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
like, does somebody just walk out on the court and go, or do you announce it? Go, okay, now we're going to start.
Yeah, I think that's what will happen. Herbie will probably announce it tonight. He'll say,
I got to tell you, watching these finals, one of my favorite things, like, just before the teams come on, like, whether I'm seeing it on TV or live games 1 and 2 that I went to, there's a dude that's got the gear on, like a Raps gear or Warriors gear, and he looks like he's with the team, and he'll start, like, shooting a couple shots.
Who's he?
I don't know who that guy is, but he's just trying to impress somebody, and I wonder what kind of work he does. Like, what I mean? Like, he's got, like, the uniform. He's part of the
What is he, a trainer?
Well, he's on the team. He's got to be on the team.
No, he's not. He's like a trainer type of guy that he's just out there trying to float shots, and they're not.
He's the guy.
They do not go in ever. Do you know the guy I'm talking
about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you know the guy that grabs the ball and throws it to the
air? Yeah, like an assistant coach or something like that, or a trainer. That's what you're talking about?
He's out there, and he's trying to impress everybody. I just wonder what his deal is.
His power play?
Yeah, he's got access to the Golden State Warriors. I would say he's probably.
I've seen it Raptors too. Like, just they got gear on. They're just shooting shots. They have no business. But
he may get 2 tickets to the game because he's part of the organization.
Something. I just found it amusing.
What are tickets going for?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I just saw Darren Rovell.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to find it here. I think he just tweeted out that this is the highest priced StubHub event in NBA history. Let me find it here. Justin. So he sent this out a couple of hours ago. Justin, this is courtesy of Darren Rovell, who's like a business insider.
Right.
Tonight's Game 5 in Toronto is now the highest grossing NBA game in StubHub history, besting Game 7 of the 16 finals between the Cavs and the Warriors. That was at Oracle. The average sold price tonight is $2,200 per ticket.
Wow.
Jeez.
And I just saw, you look back 2 hours ago and it's got a picture of Drake and it says $67,505 is the top price paid for a pair of courtside seats tonight on StubHub.
That doesn't seem like a lot considering there was 112.
Fees in U.S.
Yeah, but
at another it says pair, paid for a pair.
That's really not that high when you consider what was going on in Golden State. Someone bought courtside game 3 for like $112,000. American.
Wow.
I'm not saying that that's a discount necessarily, but...
That's 2 hours ago. Yeah, I know, but... I don't know.
Well, Rovell also tweeted out that there have been buyers... This is only on StubHub. From 31 different states and 25 different countries.
That's cool.
So, I'm guessing there's a lot of people flying up, or... Maybe you buy them and you hope to flip them again. I guess you could technically do that.
But you're playing with fire then.
I know somebody connected to a box where the offers from different corporations are coming in. They're outrageous.
There's one ticket
to
left.
To say no to that kind of money for one game is outrageous.
Well, that's where you get nervous, man. I felt for people in St. Louis who, you know, they spent a lot of money because they said, I got to be there tonight.
Yeah.
And they get blown out 5-1. Now, it wasn't a 5-1 game all night.
No.
But... Still, you're leaving that rink thinking, I just paid for my own misery to be up close and personal.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what I paid for. And if the Raptors lose tonight, they're still up 3-2. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of people spend money tonight and thinking, I get to be a part of history. And they got to close the deal for that to be the case.
Yep.
The Cup Finals heading back to Boston, Game 7 Wednesday night. Here is former Bruin, former Maple Leaf, doing work down there in Boston. Andrew Raycroft back on Overdrive. What's happening, Andrew?
Hey, fellas. Everything's great. How are we doing up there?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well, man. The Raptors are in the NBA
Ready
Finals.
Ready for the Raptors?
Yeah.
And we're trying to get a parade for ourselves up here, Razor.
You got to find your way onto one of those floats if they pull it off. No, you and Kawhi?
I do not think that will happen, brother. You know that. I will try, though.
I wouldn't say they would ever get bored down in Boston, but is it just kind of routine now, all
these
parades?
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, because like if the Bruins win on Wednesday night, that's the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Bruins that have all won their most recent title. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah, it's like the first time since the 30s or some crazy stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely not old hat. You know, the Bruins fans, a different clientele. But certainly it's not, I would say it's not the same fever that the whole city has, you know, or the whole country has like in Toronto right now. But people are excited. I mean, Game 7 in your home building, that's never happened here. So that's, you guys were talking ticket prices. They're going through the roof here right now.
Is everyone on Team Tuca? Because it's fascinating to be in a different market and watch some of the Twitter chatter, even throughout the regular season and into the playoffs, coming out of Boston where people are like, nah, you know what, let's start Halak, let's do this and that. And, you know, Tuca's won some big games so far, but I think he's been fantastic throughout the playoffs, and I think he's been great in the finals. Has everyone come around on him, or there's still the haters that will just always not like Tuca?
So I think, like you said, he's fantastic. He's been their best player, and he's changed the narrative, no question, from, you know, the Toronto series, you know, questioning if he was good enough or better than Anderson, to now he's been their best player. He's got to win still. I think if they find a way to not win tomorrow night, he'll still get a label from a large, not a majority, but a large portion of the fan base here that'll say he just can't win the big game. And, you know, that will certainly go away with a Game 7 win in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he'll be able to put that to bed like he has for most of the playoffs, the narrative of him not being able to win.
Razor, how big of a factor is the big boy factor? I think in a bunch of the series that they played, it's, you know, they've had their moments where they don't contribute, whether it's Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, Chara, Tuukka Rask, but when it really counts, they seem to get it done, and that was the case last night. That's got to be a major factor for them going into Game 7, saying, okay, whether it be Carolina series, Columbus, whatever, they showed up where it counts, and they get the job done.
They have, and you know, the stat of the playoff is Brad Marchand scoring. The Bruins are 25-1 in his career. You know, they lost in game, you know, in 2012, the Washington was the one game they lost when he did score. So that goes to the point. And you got, it was a carbon copy of Game 6 against the Leafs. You know, they went out and Marchand, you know, got a couple points. Bergeron gets his couple points, and they come back to Toronto. So it's all about the big boys here. The third line's done a great job contributing and at times, you know, bringing them along. But, you know, come tomorrow night, those guys, Krejci, the second line with Kuhlman now on it, those guys have to produce for the Bruins to win, no question.
With Andrew Raycroft, analyst with the Boston Bruins, looking back on last night where the Bruins got past the Blues, forcing a Game 7 Wednesday night down in Boston. You know, it was an interesting, I think this whole series has been really physical. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's kind of had a throwback vibe to it. There's been a couple of greasy moments. You know, I thought the Marchand hit on Pietrangelo was a bit greasy last night. Yeah. Bortuzzo knew exactly where to draw the line right at the end of the game.
There's actually been a lot of greasy plays where you're like, God, that could go either way.
Who did Bortuzzo give a little pop to? It was Achari.
I think it was Achari.
Yeah.
And he roped them in, and then he just said, "Yeah, I'll give you a punch. I know I'm not going to get suspended."
Punch in the chin. Yeah, it was a pretty solid shot.
It was a good punch.
Yeah, he corked them pretty good. Right?
Yeah. But like Marchand didn't get suspended for his punch to the back of the head. So Bortuzzo, he knows. He's like, "You know, I'm not going to get suspended. What do I care if you kick me out?"
Yeah,
but what's been fascinating for us is tracking Zdeno Chara and what's been going on with him. And, you know, he didn't look any different to me last night. He was fine with getting into a scrum and using a stick and punching people if he had to. And he got popped at one point, and he looked like he was complaining to the official, which I thought was quite rich. But for the most part, man, I got to give it up to him. I mean, he's an absolute legend, and it's kind of been amazing to me that he can play the way he played last night with a broken jaw at 42 years old.
Incredible. And yeah, he did get popped pretty good. I think it was Sanford that got him. So yeah, he's a beast. I mean, he's a freak. All of those kinds of words and to describe him are true. He's just an absolute phenomenon, and for him to be, like you said, at 42 doing this, and still have the will and the mentality to go out there and be that kind of guy is he's certainly the leader in the room here. He's the guys follow him, and obviously a guy willing to play with a smashed up face this time of year as a 42-year-old is a pretty good guy to be leading into a game seven.
Razor, tomorrow night is the ultimate King Daddy Topper night. Do they get Tom Brady out to wave the flag, or is it you, or who does it?
They have not reached out to me yet. I think they're waiting for Brady. But there's that's just as much being scrutinized just as much as anything else about the game.
It's got to be Brady, right? I mean, there's
I think they want Brady, but the word is that he's already taken his private jet back to the island.
What island?
He goes to like Puerto Rico or Costa Rica, or I know
probably owns an island.
I know.
A close number two, Razor, on Wednesday night will be Rennie Rancourt. Do you think he shows?
That will
you
drive
get
me
that whole run nose out there.
I would snap.
I'm telling you, he comes out. He doesn't sing the anthem because the new guy does a fantastic job. But
Razor, hang on a sec. If it was you calling it, would you get that old Romnose out there to sing the anthem, or would you leave it with the other guy?
Not in a million years do I want to see Rene fist bump out there. The new guy's taken over. You know, Rene ran its course.
Yeah, you had your time. Step aside, Rene Rancourt. Yeah. You know he's trying to get in there.
Play. Oh, yeah. The young guys play.
Yeah, it's a new era down in Boston. Leave us alone, please. Anyway.
All right, Razor, thanks for doing this. Say hi to that hook-nosed Fergie for me if you get a chance.
All right, guys, thanks for having me.
There he is, Andrew Raycroft. He's got a message to send on behalf of Overdrive down in Boston.
Yeah, he just hung up and was like, what the hell's going on?
He won't be accepting our request anytime soon. In all seriousness, and I can't imagine it will happen between now and Wednesday night, but if there's like a message from David Ortiz showing up on the big screen, like if they get him to record something like, go Boston, I'm okay, that place will pop. Now, I don't think that would be...
Wrong terminology, but you're right.
What is?
Pop, whatever. Like, I agree. David Ortiz. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's kosher to ask him. Like, I don't see how you could possibly do that. That's tough.
That's
like he's
Costanza,
in the ICU.
That's Costanza or Kramer going in.
Broke his ankle, he had a message one time. I don't know if it was the playoffs.
Right. Well, after the marathon bombing, too, you got a lot of that.
Yeah,
now, that was like well past the marathon, though. But
it's so fresh.
I think you got to get Brady. Game seven, you got to get Brady.
I think Brady's probably like, man, I've been at Fenway for titles. I was there in 2011 when you guys won. Like, Brady's bored of showing up for big games in Boston.
I don't know.
They all are. They're probably all bored of going to each other's big games.
Right. Wow. You've been inviting me for 20 years. I've been showing up. I'm going to pass on this one. I'll show up next time.
There was that sign guy. The kid got interviewed, him and his dad, the other day.
Yeah.
Did you read that piece on them?
No, I did not.
The dad's like, it's amazing that we're in this time, and he's like, we're just soaking it up. And the dad was actually cool. The kid was a little obnoxious because the kid, all he knows is championships, right?
Well, the dad is from Boston. He knows what it was like for
a long
time.
Right, he knows up and downs, right? I thought it was cool. That's their bond, but he's like, we know it's going to come to the end, but he's like, right now it's... It's been, whatever, 16 championships in his life or whatever. The kid's like 12. I read the piece. I thought it was kind of funny because there were some people. I saw some Leaf fans attached to it, giving it to him, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, how can you not be jealous? I mean, that's the reality.
Everyone's jealous. If you're from the outside looking at that and you're not a Boston area sports fan, everyone's jealous because you're looking at that.
It's the greatest run of all time. Like, there's no way it can ever be. No one can touch it. No other city or market will ever come close to what has happened in Boston over the past 20 years.
Well, yeah,
nobody,
because they have all the big sports, and all the big sports have had
everything.
Ridiculous success.
It started with Brady and Belichick, and they've been doing it for 18 years.
Then the Red Sox filled in the Boston Bruins.
But the Red Sox were lean. for many years.
They were, but not in 04 when they got over that hump and they beat the Yankees.
They won three championships.
Yeah. They've won four now.
Yeah. And then
four?
The Celtics.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Celtics are the...
Celtics have won it once, though. They won it with Garnett and Ray Allen, like the big three. They made it to another NBA final. They lost to the Lakers. But they all have rings.
Yeah.
You know,
Kevin
all
Garnett
been
gave the fishing analogy. What's the fishing? You got the fishing moles? Do you believe it? Do you remember when Kevin Garnett won that world championship?
Yeah, afterwards. He was yelling and swearing and going crazy.
Never give up! Never give up!
Yes, he caught a largemouth bass that
well,
day.
Hey, man, you win an NBA title. Basically, you can do or say whatever you want.
We might see one tonight.
We might see one tonight. The Larry O'Brien will be in the house
by
tonight.
By the way, what's your move after? Like, are you going to go out in the street? You got to work? And
well, I said I would do the post game for a bit. I mean, the Tap Man is going to be on until like 2 in the morning tonight. And if they win, we're going all night with coverage. Andy McNamara is coming in here at like 2 a.m., going to pass the torch off the first up at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Wow.
So, yeah, the coverage is going to be around the clock here on TSN Radio. So I'll do the post game, and then I want to get out there, and I'd like to experience what's going on if they win tonight. I mean, we have
even
to continue
Brian,
to say
that. Even, Brian, if you get
to
toot down a street and go to a Subway and go home just to experience
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's I've been dreaming about it as a Toronto sports fan my whole life. You know, honestly, I've never experienced – I'm so jealous of people that were lucky enough to be at the Dome in 93 –
right.
Even just be Blue Jay fans
well,
in 92. I was 9 or 10. You
yeah,
know, I wasn't
right in the mix.
Walking down Young and downtown or whatever. I certainly wasn't in the building.
Well, you got an opportunity to be exciting and be electric. I think they just got to play their game. They've played fantastic in the finals. Like they've
been the better team.
They haven't been this hasn't been luck. This has been, you know, Nick Nurse has outlined a plan. They've executed it. To me, the team has kind of taken on Kawhi's personality.
Yeah, his
all
demeanor anyway.
And, you know,
I think he's got to be the go-to guy tonight.
Well, yeah.
Like, he's the guy that's won a Finals MVP. It's like, don't be scared of this moment. I've been here before. I've done this. Just take control and just rock it.
Well,
and be that guy.
I think, you know, generally it's a fourth-quarter sport. I mean, that's usually the way it works. I mean, like any league, if it's a tie game in the third or tie game
think,
in the fourth
Brian,
quarter.
Regardless of the competition, what they've won, like if you just crush them, you could maybe take their spirit away?
I think if you get up big early, that would be big.
Right.
Even with Kevin
that's
Durant.
That's stating the obvious. But,
no, but Golden State, dude, you can spot them 25, and they'll be like, give me 5 minutes and we'll have the lead.
Right.
I think this Golden State team is so demoralized. And they have looked so defeated at times where they feel like they can't beat them. That's what it looks like to me. It doesn't mean they can't. But I think if Kevin Durant returns and the Raptors still come out and punch him in the face early.
They fire up the Weirzy Mobile.
Then it's go time. At the half, these guys are going to be saying this could be the end of the dynasty. And yeah, I mean, listen, the 48-minute game, there's going to be a lot of ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
I don't think it'll be a blowout either way. I don't. I think it'll be a close game into the fourth quarter, and we'll see who can close.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant, I don't know what he's going to bring tonight. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be.
Well, you've got to expect top players, like Rod said, like Chauncey said, like you got to expect top players to play like they're top players, even if there's some rust on their game. You'll take 70% of a top player, then.
Well, look at Klay Thompson in game four. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Missed game three, and you would never would have known he had a problem.
Now, he didn't miss a month like Durant.
Yeah.
And the pace of the game is quite high. So see what he brings, but he is an X factor as far as intimidation, too.
Well, that's it. Like, if he goes off tonight, he goes off for 40 and they win. It'll be a different mood in Toronto tomorrow, and you know what's coming throughout the NBA. Wow. This is what all they were waiting for was Durant to show up. With Durant, they're unbeatable. And let's be honest, with Durant at 100%, they have been unbeatable.
Yeah.
LeBron could not beat him. The Cavs could not beat him. Houston could not beat him. Nobody could beat them with Durant.
We know he's not 100%.
He's not at 100%.
You know what? Go in and play confident. You're up 3-1. You've
own
been
it.
The better. Own, exactly.
At your house, I mean, the building will be rocking tonight.
Rocking.
Get after it early.
Yeah.
You know, keep it close or get a lead. and then just get into the second half and continue to do exactly what you've been doing.
9 o'clock game. When are they allowed in there? Like 8?
Doors are open at 7.
Oh, really?
I believe, yeah. It'll be packed in there by 8:30.
Rocking in there, man.
Yeah, by 8:30, it'll be packed. And I think that's a part of the anthem plan here tonight. Get people engaged and force them into action. You know, you got to sing the anthem. Let's go. You got to be in your seat to do that.
Yeah.
Chris Bosch, he's coming up live from Scotiabank in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take on game 5 tonight. How confident is he that Kevin Durant will be an effective player tonight? If so, how do the Raptors counter that? That more coming up later in the hour with Chris Bosch. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, game 5 tonight. Tip off in about 2.5 hours. Scotiabank. Cannot wait for it tonight. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. And Chris Bosch will join us in about 15 minutes, get his take on the game tonight. The big news, of course, is that Kevin Durant is expected to play. But I really don't think it's going to affect the psyche of the Raptors. You know, it doesn't mean it won't have an effect on the game. Of course it will. But, you know, the way the Raptors have played, they've kept their composure. Kawhi Leonard, his demeanor has kind of permeated the group. I don't think they're going to be overly emotional tonight. And I don't think they're going to panic because one guy's back in the lineup. They're up 3-1 at home, and they've been the better team. It's not like they feel lucky and then, uh-oh. You know, all the underlying numbers are saying that Golden State has been pumping them, and they've been lucky somehow to get to a 3-1 lead.
Right.
And now,
you know,
John Wick is coming back, and we're in big trouble. I don't think that is the case. I know it's not the case. But I feel good about their demeanor tonight. I do.
Well, I mean, Durant's going to be a difference maker, but the question is how much. That's really what it is.
I'll tell you, watching him walk into the building was, you just say to yourself, like, if that's how you're walking, and it might have been an act because he knew all the cameras were on him and he was like had to limp. And but who knows? He would scare the hell out of me, though.
If he came
in. It's the Gretzky factor. It's like, oh, is Gretzky playing tonight? No, he's not. Mm-hmm. He's not. And then all of a sudden, Gretzky's back in.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Their best player is back tonight.
That's right. It plants a seed.
Well, and it also helps the psyche of the players on his team, Clay and Steph. Like, it takes a little bit of pressure on them, off of them. Because if you're cheating to Durant a little bit, now you've got options to open up and give them their shots.
Well, and that's what Chauncey Billups was saying. You got three of them. You got three of the best shooters of all time now on the court. Okay, you can maybe get two of them. I don't know if you're going to be able to get all three.
Right.
But
do you remember two of the signature threes that he hit in both championships?
They were from half court.
Just from inside half court where he just posted up and said, watch this.
Watch this.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's capable of doing. Difference, though, they were up 3-0 in those series. They were up 2-0 when he hit that shot.
They were still two of the most incredible shots I've ever seen.
No, he is unguardable. Like, if Kevin Durant is on his game and he gets you kind of one-on-one, if he goes up, you can't block that shot.
Did you not think both times where he posted up to hit those shots, you're thinking, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they just go down like a normal three or like a mid-range shot. It's like, whatever.
Yeah,
man.
No.
You can't compete against
that. Unbelievable player. No denying that. But Kawhi Leonard can make it look easy as well. And I think Kawhi can and will be the best player on the court tonight. And I also wonder about the idea of overcompensating, you know, welcoming Durant back if you're Golden State.
Trying to force feed him a little bit?
Are they going to be running everything through him? Are they going to be trying to, you know, make him find a rhythm and help him find a rhythm, but at the same time kind of compensate for their own rhythm? And as a result, you know, it's not really going to help them. You know exactly what the Raptors are doing tonight. You know exactly what their game plan is going to be. Yeah. Golden State, now all of a sudden they've got to think about it differently. That's a positive. They're happy about.
Well, they've got one other
change
option
here.
But you're right. If they try and force feed that option, it may get Clay or Steph off of their game. But if Durant, I think Durant, if he doesn't have it, what he's going to do is just be a decoy, and you know maybe distribute the ball. It's not a bad thing for Golden State, but it does reek of desperation. That's why I've said that all along. I believed he was going to play. But I believe they thought they were going to split in Golden State and have a best of three with KD coming back. And he'd be like, yeah, I'll play the last three. Now they got their backs up against the wall, and he's going to play at whatever, 65, 70%, not 100. So game timing's a lot different than practice, and especially at this level. Like, the Raps have been, they've been a fast team.
Yeah, and so, Kawhi Leonard will be waiting for you.
Yeah.
Like, Kawhi, at some point tonight, will be directly on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So not only are you maybe 75%, you're jumping on a moving train, you haven't played in 33 games, but the best defender in the world is waiting for you on his home court. Not going to be easy for Kevin Durant. Like, it's almost unfair to expect him to be dominant tonight. But I think that's what Golden State is hoping for, and they probably need.
But I think they also just need Draymond. You know, like, they're loaded.
Yeah.
They just need to play up to their potential and the Raps. I think it'll be a fantastic game.
I think
it'll
be a great game tonight. Chris Bosch will join us from Scotiabank. We'll get his take on what to expect out of both teams tonight. He's been playing in games, championship games, when the Larry O'Brien is in the building. How does that affect your psyche, knowing that tonight is the night? You know, only one team can win a title tonight, and it's the home team tonight. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Yankees home plus over the Mets. Boston wins big at Fenway over Texas tonight, and I will be on Washington in the south side of Chicago tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
By the way, good on Boston. Wednesday, they're going to move the game down to 4:07 p.m.
Very simple. Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, very simple. There's a Stanley Cup final game going on. You move the game.
Yep.
Because we were talking about that recently, weren't you?
Yeah, TFC did that. They did that on Friday night. Yeah, they were supposed to play, I think, at 8 o'clock, and they said, no. 7 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
Because by 9 o'clock, no one wants to be here.
No.
Unless you're Andy Petrillo, I guess.
Well, yeah.
But Andy was in the house on Friday night down at BMO, but she stuck around, too, and watched the
Raptors. Yeah, they had a viewing party.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect setup.
Exactly.
Chris Bosch will join us from Scotiabank ahead of Game 5 tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Game 5 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Tip-off at 9 p.m., pregame at 7 p.m. And Chris Bosch is going to call in at some point from Scotiabank Arena, get his take on what he expects out of both teams tonight. The Raptors, again, you know, that was an incredible moment on Friday night at Oracle. They were down by 11 at some point in the first half, down by 4 going into the second half, and it felt lucky. You know, they were lucky to be in that position because they really couldn't hit any shot, and they didn't look like they had a rhythm going in the first half.
Yeah, they didn't have a sink, yeah.
And then in the second half, Kawhi comes out and just says, that's it, we're taking it, and that could be the final game at Oracle. If the Raptors win tonight, that building will be demolished, and they're moving over the bridge. They're moving to San Francisco starting next year.
Right.
And that building's been historically loud. A lot of rich money, a lot of people that spent a lot of money to be in that building. And the Raptors just said, leave. Go ahead. Go. 3-4 minutes to go. These guys are leaving the building.
The game was over. That's the one thing in
I love that. It was comforting. As soon as I saw the people leaving, I was like, it's over. I can feel comfortable now.
You can tell on body language, two of the players. Like, the minute that there's a lead of 10, 12 or something, like, guys are like, we're done.
They knew game's they were over. Done. They knew they were done.
Like,
because the Raptors didn't stop. Like, Toronto kept hitting a shot after shot. Steph actually hit a pretty big fadeaway three with a few minutes to go.
Yeah.
I think to either make it a 7 or a 10-point game.
Yeah, it was 10 because the crowd stood up and gave kind of like the last push. And then, right away they came back down. Yeah. The Raps came and I don't know who – I don't know if it was
Dagger.
It was
Danny Green or Fred VanVleet.
Somebody hit something.
Van Vliet didn't come back in the game now that I think about it. Like, his face tonight, I am curious to see his face. Like, that was a vicious elbow he took.
Dude, you watch hockey all the time, and a guy comes back the next shift, you don't think anything of it. Why is it basketball? You think that this guy's a legend if he comes back.
Well, I didn't say he was a legend. No. I said I want to see his face.
He was in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Like, they put him there. He was
cut. He had a black eye. He lost a tooth. He came back with he's got a mouth guard now. He's all good.
Yeah. I was happy for him. Like, he didn't milk it, though.
I don't know. Okay.
He didn't milk it.
I'm just saying.
No, I thought it was fantastic. He was down, bleeding, got up, walked off on his own accord, went through concussion protocol, came back, and he wasn't acting. It wasn't a hero moment.
No.
After the game, the bare elbow. I think I would rather the elbow pads.
Every time.
Yeah, that one.
And that was with force.
It was Livingston, right? Yeah.
It was totally unintentional. He didn't know he was there, but like he got up and then came down with a force. And you could tell, like Van Vliet, when he was down, you're like, this guy is in trouble.
Well, that.
A tooth out, and he's got black eyes and everything.
The crazy part, he's cut underneath the eye, but the tooth came out. Like that was, you forget, like Livingston's long arm. So it's a full. It hits him in the cheek and down through the mouth type of thing. Like his elbow's probably this big, you know? Like, you're right. It's like hitting him over the face with a 2x4.
But I think, he's playing tonight. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. He's
I'm not saying that that's a built-in excuse for him not to have a good night tonight.
Yeah.
But, Van Vliet, he's on Steph Curry. That's what his job is, you know? And another credit to Nick Nurse, man. That's been a big adjustment. Like, they have started their starting five with Danny Green on the court. That's been their go-to all year. Danny Green started every single game, and he always starts the second half during the regular season and through the Orlando, Philly, and Milwaukee series.
Yeah.
And Nick Nurse just said, no, we'll make an adjustment. You can. Why won't you? Why don't you? I'm surprised more teams don't do that. And it's not necessarily that Danny Green, wasn't performing well enough. It's that, okay, crunch time, and Van Vliet has a way with Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
He's made his life very difficult. So he started both second halves in Game 3 and Game 4. I would assume that carries over tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, that's your guy, man. Go be a virus. And that's exactly what he's done.
Absolutely.
He's performed really, really well.
But when you think about it in this series, I know there's been probably little one-offs here or there. Pretty much the whole team has been very good. The guys who have played. Like the depth players. Certainly the starters. Kyle, Kawhi, Gasol, but like there hasn't been long stretches or pockets where you've been like, man, this team's been out to lunch.
No.
If anything, they've had a little, they had the 20 point, I guess 18 point, but 20 point, you call it. Other than that, they get down 7 or something, it's counterpunch right away. Big, big three from Steph or Clay, it's counterpunch right away. So they haven't really allowed Golden State to impose their will or get on a run.
And I think that is likely what has flustered them more than anything else, because that's what they've been known for.
Yeah.
They don't need to win all four quarters. They need 5 minutes.
The third quarter is the interesting stat.
That's what they've owned forever.
They've owned the third quarter, and that's what the Raptors have
had. What did they put up, like 31? They beat them 31-17 or something like that on Friday night. So they obviously put up massive numbers offensively, but they also completely shut down.
Right.
The biggest knockout punch team maybe in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
But that knockout punch ability is what always is going to lead to some nervous energy, I think, tonight. Because even though you're up 3-1, you're feeling good. You know Golden State can, if they catch a heater, you're in trouble.
Right.
And I'm not saying necessarily over the final three games, but tonight.
I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear Golden State catches a heater.
Well, it's it's on you to slow it down or cool it down.
No kidding.
But if they do,
Jack talks about it all the time. They beat him twice in the regular season, and they beat him 3 out of 4 this year.
Right.
So they kind of got the recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that is Kawhi Leonard, where Kawhi.
God, that guy's good, man.
Well, he plays a style where it's old school, like half court.
I know.
And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go and just get fouled and completely slow the game down.
Yeah.
And that's where, Golden State doesn't want to play that. They'd rather give up a bucket than give up only one free throw, because they'd like to get the ball back and play and move, and go. And when they're starting to get going, Kawhi's like, all right, I'll just completely slow it down, and I'll get into the paint, I'll get contact, and I'm going to take 5 minutes to shoot 2 free throws. And you lose all of your momentum.
Yeah.
He's a momentum stopper, the way he plays the game.
I'm telling you what, I'm Jack, man. Come and get it, Golden State, because I just
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Even with Kevin Durant returning tonight, I feel pretty good about the Raptors just based on what we've seen.
Yeah.
They've been the better team. Let's head down to Scotiabank now. Here is Chris Bosch. How do you feel about the Raptors tonight, Chris?
I mean, hey, man, up 3-1. Shoot, they got a chance. That's better than being down 3-1. I can tell you that much.
Right.
If they were to swap, I would definitely think that Golden State would rather be up 3-1 right now.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. That's hot take analysis, and that's what we love about you, Bruce. But Kevin Durant, you know, we've been calling him John Wick for the past couple of weeks. Like, he's just kind of hovering in the shadows, and you're like, John Wick shows up,
man. The boogeyman.
The boogeyman shows up, and it sounds like he's going to walk through those doors tonight, and he's going to play. How big of a psychological effect will that have both on Golden State and the Raptors tonight, the presence of Kevin Durant?
Well, I mean, I think for Golden State, it could definitely give them some confidence. You know, if they have some confidence that they're, you know, closer to 100% than they were, than they have been in the last month, then, you know, that's one thing. And then, you know, on the flip side, looking at it from the Raptors' point of view, it might, you know, encourage them and really get them going and have them more focused than they normally would be. So, you know, it can kind of go both ways. But I think Kevin, I mean, from what I hear, yeah, Kevin, I mean, his name keeps coming up, so I suppose he's going to play tonight. It'll be interesting to see, you know, the conditioning, the timing, the rhythm for both him and the team while he's playing, you know, and you know, what Kerr and his staff are going to do with him to help him kind of get involved.
That's where I was going to head, Chris, is you see him just – hitting the ground running, or is there? I know he's a special player and arguably one of the best on the planet, but you know, having a month off and the pace of the game in the finals, would you expect a little bit of rust on his game?
Oh yeah, of course, of course. I mean, it's been a month, and you know, I would take KD's rust over anybody else's rust.
True,
but you know, you know, timing, rhythm. You have to think, like I was saying earlier on air, like usually in a regular season, you can have those shots where you're just like, all right, I'm just getting in rhythm. Well, when do those shots come? It's the NBA Finals. Every shot is important. Every turnover is important. Every possession is important. So, you know, are they going to allow him to kind of get his rhythm going, or is he going to be in a position to where they need him just to be more, you know, fill more of a role? And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. And I'm sure for him, you know, not being able to have his timing, if he doesn't have his timing going one-on-one, that could be a huge, 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 make a huge effect.
With Chris Bosch ahead of Game 5 tonight down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Kawhi Leonard, we're talking about his ability to completely slow a game down and basically end any type of momentum. And I've noticed that a lot in this Golden State series. Anytime they kind of get running, Kawhi will say, "Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna kill the clock. I'm gonna get into the paint. I'm gonna draw contact. I'm gonna get to the line. I'm gonna hit both free throws because I'm a robot from the line. And it's gonna take up, you know, 5 minutes real time and completely suck the energy out of that offense." That's what has been so impressive for me. Do you think he has the ability to continue that tonight with Kevin Durant being a part of this run? You know, Kawhi Leonard basically being a one-man momentum stopper for the Raptors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I would look for Kawhi to do is just to really try to set the tone early in being aggressive and trying to take it home. You know, closeout games, if you look at all the greats, this is usually when they literally took the bull by the horn for the whole entire game. And for KD, you know, it will be probably, you know, directed at him because he's going to have to, like I say, get that timing back quicker than normal, adjust to it, and, you know, have to succeed in that. And on top of that, be on the road. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of things to overcome. It ought to be a lot of drama, a lot of good stuff. But, you know, Kawhi's ability just to be able to take it to guys, maybe KD's defensive timing will be off as well. So I look for Kawhi to really, really look for his offense tonight. Kind of like in that closeout game against Philly when he shot 40 times. I would not be surprised if he played a game like that tonight.
Chris, we were talking about big moments and in the locker room, big speeches. You ever been a part of a LeBron-type speech, maybe yourself, Dwayne Wade, just something before a massive game, a closing game where somebody said something where you thought, man, that's what I needed to hear, or was comforting, or just anything you heard like that?
Nothing comforting. I won't say it was comforting, but I will say before a game, game 7 against the Spurs back in 2013, you know, we had that whole thing with the game 6 and everything, and we were back, you know, and we were walking through the hallway. We're going to me and Dwayne were walking to join the rest of the guys. I think we were the first two guys out, and the rest of the guys were coming out to huddle. And, you know, Dwayne was just like, yo, this is our championship. This is ours. Nobody can take our championship. And, shoot, that's all he had to say. I mean, the game was a whole nother thing, but what he said rang true in the fact that, you know, we felt like it was our time. And, you know, the Raptors have to feel like that right now. They have to feel like it's their time. You know, they're at home. Tonight is their game 7. They've got the experience. They've got the momentum. You know, luck seems to be on their side. They just got to capitalize now.
Can't wait for it tonight.
Man, I love the game. I love hearing somebody having the stones to say it's our championship.
Take it.
Yeah, man. It's
go get it.
Yeah, man. Go get it.
Enjoy the game tonight, Chris. We always appreciate
you doing
this.
Thing.
All right, man. There he is, Chris Bosch, TSN Raptors analyst.
He might get Duthie fired. He's better than Duthie as a host.
Oh, he's a great analyst, man. He's doing a great job. And Duthie's down there. Rod's down. Everyone's down there, man.
All hands on deck.
Everyone is down there. And the Tap Man will be down there pregame starting at
Guns
7 o'clock.
Blazing. Has this he been doing yes guy, no guy?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
What?
Oh, they are doing yes guy, no guy. I have not
heard
it.
That's an hour-long segment.
Yeah, I guess it can be. I mean, you're talking about a two-hour pregame. If there was ever going to be a time for a yes guy, no guy.
42 minutes of yes guy, no guy.
Yeah. Yes guy, no guy tonight.
Is Kawhi Leonard going to stay?
I don't know if that's coming up before this game. After the game, if they win, that would be my one warning or suggestion.
Yeah.
To get a bit preachy here. If they can win tonight, you knock on wood, it would be an incredible vibe. Don't start with the what's up with Kawhi immediately afterwards.
You know what? I'll just say this. If they do win, I don't care.
Well, that's the truth, too.
I don't care.
If this guy brings them home a championship, it turns into
You go back home and do whatever you want, man.
Greatest trade maybe in Toronto history. It could be. The Raptors have done everything possible to make him want to be here.
Exactly.
Game 5 tonight, Scotiabank. Tip off at 9 p.m. right here on TSN Radio. The pregame coming up at 7 p.m. sharp. We are out of here. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.